Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. I'm going to read right through the chronology this morning. If you guys could pull that up, I want to just pray, and then we're going to look at it. I'm really going to get us way past where we've been. Father, we thank you for your word and for the way that you are teaching us in this season how to understand these end times. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be here today to bring revelation. If I'm missing anything, please alert me to it and help us to receive it with hope and not with fear. And Jesus, may you be glorified, our soon coming bridegroom. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want you to leave that up while I read to you these. If you guys could just not pull up the text as I'm reading through the chronology, just leave that up there until I get to like number 12. And then when I get to number 12, I want you to pull up in the scriptures and the Amplified Classic, if you would, Ezekiel 38 and 39. I think that was in the outline that I may be paraphrasing, okay? Thank you. Is that Michelle? Hi, you're so good. I thank you for being up there this morning. Okay, so we are right now in a series called Understanding the End Times. I really believe we are in the latter of the latter times. And if you look around at what's happening in the world today, everyone can come to the same conclusion that we're so close to the Lord taking the church out of here. We're very close to many of the things that are going to start to break loose in the book of Revelations. But I started in Daniel because I believe Daniel is one of the best Old Testament books that shows prophetically what is going to happen leading up to the rapture of the church. It ends there in Daniel. All of the revelation that he got led up to the revealing of the person that we are waiting. We're not going to see him. I don't believe we will. And if your eschatology doesn't agree with me, I still love you. I have friends that believe that the church will still be here. They're post, what's called post-tribulation friends. They believe that the church will be here during this period called the tribulation. But I don't, and I'll get to that later. But Daniel saw and was given the revelation by the Lord what would happen with Israel, what would happen with the rebuilding of the temple. He was given the timing, years, specific years, and leading up to Jesus coming onto the earth, Jesus being cut off and left alone, bare naked and with no one to support him, which we know happened on Good Friday. We call it Good Friday when, you know, he was crucified for our sin. And then beyond that, there would come a time where this Antichrist person would come on the scene and the church would be gone. And so God promised these 490 years of his prophetic dealings to Daniel. And this, he would be dealing with Israel during this time and the Jewish people. That happened. That's in our history books. Number two, God promised the Messiah would come 483 years later after he commanded, gave the command to rebuild Jerusalem. You can find that in Daniel 9. That happened exactly like the Lord said it would. That command to rebuild Jerusalem was issued by King Artaxerxes, and that's in Ezra 7. That happened. You will see here the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. I don't know if you have your glasses on or not, but that happened right there. Christ comes here at the end of the 483 weeks. We have 270-week periods in Daniel. There's a week, or there's a time, a suspended time. We call it the church parenthetical age, where no weeks are counted, and this is the age of grace. This is the age of the church. This is why, you know, the Apostle Paul and Jesus and many others said, you know, right now is the day of salvation. Right now is the time. But he didn't give a specific allocation of time. He's just saying, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for people to come to me. I'm waiting for people to receive me as Lord. My whole goal for coming here was to destroy the works of darkness, to create an opportunity for people to place their faith in me, to have eternal life, to redeem mankind. But that time is ticking, and it's not going to last forever. So there's a time of grace. There's a time for us to receive Jesus as Lord, and we are in that time. We are in what's called the church age. And during this church age, there were some specific things that would happen. Israel was going to be regathered. Jews would begin to migrate from the nations to their ancient land. And for these end time prophecies to be fulfilled, Israel had to become a nation again. And as I've told you, that happened on May 14th of 1948. That really started the clock ticking. At that point, once Israel became a nation and they got back in their land, and they're still coming, they're migrating. If you look that up, they're moving from all over the world right now back to Israel. Israel is being flooded with exiles, and they're coming home to their land. And as we saw that clock tick, that was really a point where the birth pains, which Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, would begin to happen closer and closer together. And what were those birth pains? Wars and rumors of wars. There was going to be pestilence. There was going to be food shortages. There were going to be all kinds of cataclysmic things that would happen naturally. We would start to see them happen closer and closer together as a woman in labor, her birth pains get closer and closer together. And we've seen that happening in our lifetime. Closer and closer together. It seems like it's happening all the time now. During the last part of this, when the birth pains start to get really, really close together, you're going to start to see an uptick of false prophets. You're going to see lawlessness increase. We're seeing it all over the world. 20 years ago, we would have never had liberals in political positions saying defund the police, creating sanctuary cities for criminals and murderers and everyone else to gather as pus pockets that would create an unsafe and unstable nation. And you may have your own political views about that, but I still believe in law and order. Amen? And just because you have a crook that infiltrates the law enforcement community doesn't mean we take away the funding to keep our streets safe. Right? You do a better job of vetting people to get into those positions, but you know, we're in trouble. We're starting to see lawlessness, and not just in that particular arena, but we're seeing it all over the world, where kids now are overthrowing schools and not listening to teachers, and you know, that's been going on for a long time, but never like it is now, and I see teachers in here nodding their head. It's very difficult to be a teacher this day. You also would begin to look at the body of Christ, the church, the condition of the church, what we know as the church, would start to erode. The love of the great body would grow cold. You would start to see an apostasy spirit. What is that? That's leaving the tenets of the faith. That's moving away from what you once held as truth. And we're seeing that. We're seeing now an uptick of people being endorsed and anointed, and not anointed, but appointed as leaders of the Lord's church, and they're teaching heresy. They're promoting and endorsing profanity in the pulpit. We're going to see that on a larger scale. The Bible says there's going to be brother will be against brother. Family members will betray family members. So there will be an uptick of betrayal. False prophets, lawlessness, hypocrisy will accelerate. We're seeing all of that now. Terrorist groups will start to arise. They will be dealt a severe blow, probably by Israeli defense forces. And we are seeing right now a threat with Iran and other nations that are aligning with Iran against Israel. I shared with you last week that Jimmy Evans said that Iran has now a nuclear weapon that can hit Israel in 400 and something seconds, which really calculates into 6.66 minutes. Last year, Israel did a Chariots of Fire military exercise where they assumed they were hit by a nuclear weapon, and then they were training their Israeli defense team to protect the borders of Israel. Because even if it's in a burning state, Israel is going to protect the land, because that is not their land. It is the Lord's land. It is Yeshua's land, and they know it. It is Adonai El Shaddai. It is his land. He said, it's my land. And even though there are many that are under a spirit of delusion that are still looking for the Messiah in their DNA, because they have Abraham in their DNA. There is a innate sense that that land is more than just a little geographical piece on the planet, that it is literally the land of the Most High God. And so they will protect it at all costs. Number 11 in that chronology is that Damascus, Syria will be destroyed. And you can find that in Isaiah 17. And, you know, whether or not that has completely happened, you know, some would disagree with me. But if you go back to 2021, there were chemical weapons released in Syria. Syria was literally destroyed. And, you know, they're rebuilding it. But there is a war going to continue to be happening from there right up to the very end. And number 12 is where I believe we are right now. I believe that this could happen at any time. Scholars do disagree about the timing of this. Some believe it's going to happen actually at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign. But if you go and look at scripture, you'll see that I believe it's going to happen a little sooner than that. But Israel is going to be invaded by Russia and Islamic allies. However, God is going to perform miracles on Israel's behalf. And this is why I have Ezekiel 38 and 39 up, because I believe this could happen right before the church is taken up or right after. And when I say taken up, I'm going to read to you some scriptures today that Paul laid out in the scriptures about this taking up of the church, what we call the rapture. But the Bible commentators will differ on the timing, like I said, of this. So if we could go back to the graphic for a minute, I just want to show you again. Many of your eyes have already traveled to this area. Christ rode into Jerusalem. I took you through the scriptures right there. Zechariah said he's going to come in on a colt and a donkey. That happened. Jesus went and sent the disciples to go get the colt and the donkey on the day of his entrance into Jerusalem. He had that colt and that donkey. That happened. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again. Right now, I believe we're about right there based on what Scripture says is going to happen. What he says is going to happen is that technology is going to accelerate so fast that it will be obsolete sometimes in a week. We're seeing that now. With the rise of artificial intelligence, I don't know if you guys have all heard of that. I don't want to go too deep in that today. I will be bringing in some clips. The globalists right now they have a very aggressive agenda to create artificial human beings. They believe that they can create human beings that will live forever. They believe that they can actually create human beings outside the womb and put them in artificial wombs and grow a child based on their selection. Skin color, you know, mental capabilities. Hitler was trying to do this. He was trying to create a superior race. But they actually believe they can create both artificially created human beings, but also specifically selected human beings that will be a superior race that will outpace anyone that doesn't have those particular selections. So if your child doesn't take the chip, they believe they can create these artificial chips or these chips now that can connect you to a computer, to this artificial system. And they can actually shut down the side of the brain that has a propensity toward religious bias. What they can do is neutralize all human beings to no longer have passion for faith or a higher power. They do believe this, and this is not a conspiracy theory. They believe if they can neuter and neutralize the human race, against any passionate religious bias, that they can create a one-world church. Most of the wars, if you go back and look at it, most of the wars in history were fought over religious beliefs. So this is not just for Christians. They say Christians actually are the most radical and the most passionate. So they are targeting Christians. But this is for the Muslim. This is for the Hindus. This is for everyone who has a passion or a bent toward defending their particular religious faith. And if they can neutralize people to not have that bent, then they can brainwash them and have them all join one world religion. How do you think this is going to happen? Where everybody lets go of their you know, family history of beliefs to fall under the spell of one world religion. So I don't want to go too deep in that, but transhumanism is already working on these things. They're working on a global currency where that we will go to a cashless society, which is everything that is prophesied that the Antichrist will introduce. The conversations are happening right now. If you listen to the World Economic Forum, you listen to transhumanism experts and all the globalists, and they're all friends. They believe that we all need to get on the same page. One world government, one world currency, one world religion. The Bible calls it the harlot church. The church of Babylon. And so as I'm staging this, what I want you to know is this. God loves all people, but his wrath is going to be poured out against all of this. And Paul said that the church is not appointed to wrath. Okay, we are not appointed to wrath. And this is why I believe strongly that the church will be raptured out, because the wrath of God is going to be poured out on the earth. And God is not double-minded. He's not going to say, you're not appointed to wrath. I'm going to send my son to satisfy my wrath against sin once and for all. I'm going to put you in a season called the Age of Grace. Win souls, live in my grace, live in my goodness. And when my wrath is going to be poured out on all of this nonsense, I'm going to have you up in heaven with me. And everyone who rejected me will be subject to my wrath. Now, there will be people that have heard this message I'm preaching right now that have refused God. They have refused. I don't want to join a religion. I'm not all, you know, Jesus-y or whatever. Listen, I'm not about religion. I'm not a religious woman. I'm a relationship woman. I grew up in religion. I grew up in legalism. I grew up in, the do's and the don'ts and all of that. All it did, it was turn me against, the one person I needed in my life, and that was Jesus. It presented a false father to me. It presented a false Jesus to me. And Jesus came to fulfill the law, to live a perfect life, because I never can. He took condemnation off my life. He took shame off my life. He took guilt off my life. He put his spirit on the inside of me and is helping me live a life free of bondage, free of all of that stuff, free of religious yokes. And I'm so thankful for what he did for me at the cross. Okay? But he's coming again. And right now he's not mad at sinners. He's mad about them. He's in love with them. He's not soft on sin, but he's in love with sinners. And he's not willing that any perish, but that all would come to him. And so there's this war. I don't believe I'm going to have time to go into all of it. I'm just going to open with it, okay? I'm going to open with maybe the first 6 or 7 verses of both chapters. And I'm going to explain to you what's going to happen. God has this plan. And he says he's going to put a hook in the jaw of this leader. He's going to be a Russian leader. He's going to be leading a group of other nations. They're going to be Muslim nations. They're going to be anti-God nations, okay, that will align with him against Israel. And the Bible says that these nations are going to come up to Israel for a great spoil. Many over the years have assumed what the spoils are. They always assumed that it was oil or natural gas. Okay, there are some very clear things about what those things are. We know Israel is wealthy because they're Jews. And they're just Jews, and God has always made them wealthy. And so I don't have another explanation for you except for that he said, I'm going to prosper you, and I'm going to bless you because you're mine. And because of Jesus, now we have the DNA. We're in the lineage. We've been grafted in, so we should have the wealth because spiritually we're Jews. Hello. Thank you, Jesus, right? So this war that could happen before the rapture or after the rapture is going to be a war for spoil. Now, as we look at these few verses, I just want to say some things about what my dad, when he was teaching me eschatology at 8 years old, as he was going blind and making me read the King James Version, talk about Well, you guys were probably out hitting baseballs and playing Cowboys and Indians or something. But I was sitting with Daddy listening to him talk about the Battle of Armageddon, the Battle of Gog and Magog, the cashless society, the mark of the beast, hailstones and fire falling from heaven, the seven vials being opened. You know, I mean, I thank God for my upbringing now, but I hated it then. But Daddy would say, they're going to come up for the spoil, and here's what I think the spoil is going to be. It's going to be oil, it's going to be natural gas, but I believe it's also going to be, it's going to be some kind of minerals and things like that, that even food, Dad would say, well, I believe Israel is, you know, it's a land of milk and honey. And even though there are many parts of it that are undeveloped, Daddy would say, you think about famines and pestilence and lack of food and hunger and all of this stuff. He said, it would be like God to develop the land of Israel and create such organic and wonderful food that as the nations are hungry, they will come there to get the food. Jimmy Evans said, years ago, he would go to the land of Israel, and there were all of these lands around the land of Goshen and all of this that was undeveloped. He said, today, there are farms there, and they produce the best food in the entire world. Also, the Dead Sea used to be a Dead Sea, good for nothing. Well, now you look at the lands of the earth because of chemicals and all of the things that have been sprayed on them, and the mineral content of most lands that produce food today is depleted. That's why we're struggling with all of these health issues. And we have to take mineral supplements to build our bodies up to the point where they need to be healthy. It's been discovered in the last few years that the Dead Sea has all of the minerals that we need for our bodies in such supply that the entire world could come there if they mine the Dead Sea for those minerals. And that's why their farms are growing. That's why their food is of such high quality. It's been discovered, too, that in the last 2 years, when Putin hit some of the gas supply lines that bring natural energy to some of the European nations, because he's trying to cut them off and make them dependent on him, that Israel has discovered a huge supply of natural gas right off their shores within their border lines. And so no one can come across those border lines to get it. That belongs to Israel. So even their maritime borders have enough natural supply to supply the nations that Putin has shut off, making Israel even more, and I don't know if he's Gog, they say he's Gogish. But if you really stop and look at this, Israel's value is increasing, both in their sea borders, in the Dead Sea, in their land, and they're hated. There's a natural, innate hatred by these bordering nations against them. And this war is going to happen. And so, Ezekiel, let's look at this really quick. First few verses. What time is it? You guys okay? I'm going to take you a little bit longer than I normally do. It says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face against Gog. Now Gog is this Russian leader. And the land of Magog. The land of Magog is going to be made up of Turkey and Syria and Iran and some of these other Muslim nations around there. Now we know, based on Daniel's figure, again, there's going to be the iron, which is these warmongering nations mixed with a few democratic nations, and they are going to crumble, but they are going to come against Israel. It says the prince of Rosh and of Meshech and of Tubal, and if you look at those are actual countries that I just mentioned, and prophesy against him, Gog, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince, ruler of Rosh, of Meshech, and of Tubal. So he's over these areas. And I will turn you back and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you forth and all your army, horses and horsemen, and all of them clothed in full armor, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them handling swords. Persia, Cush, Put, or Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his hordes, the house of Togarmah, in the uttermost parts of the north, and all his hordes, many people are with you. You, Gog, be prepared. Yes, prepare yourself. You and all your companies that are assembled about you, and you be a guard and a commander for them. So, you know, after many days you shall be visited and mustered or serve for service. In the latter years you shall go against the land that is restored from the ravages of the sword. Now see, there's been a restoration. Where people are gathered out of many nations upon the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste. But its people are brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell securely, all of them. You see this gathering? So this is after the gathering. Let's go a little further. You shall ascend and come like a storm. You shall be like a cloud to cover the land. You and all your hosts and many people with you. Thus says the Lord God, at the same time thoughts shall come into your mind, and you will devise an evil plan. And you will say, I will go up against an open country, the land of unwalled villages, and I will fall upon those who are at rest, who dwell securely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. To take spoil and prey, there it is, to turn your hand upon the desolate places now inhabited and assail the people gathered out of the nations who have obtained livestock and goods, who dwell at the center of the earth. Now, Palestine, you see, there's been a big war there. You see that? Right now, if you look at the Gaza Strip, every time our nation and every time any other nation from NATO or any of the rest of the groups get together to try to get a peace treaty together to force Israel to give that land over to Palestine so they can become a sovereign nation, you will see, if you go and look at it in the books, there's been a hurricane, there's been a natural disaster, there's been something that has hit the earth on that day when they're trying to make that treaty. It's true. God is saying, in no uncertain terms, it's not going to happen. He says, in fact, there's going to come an ally, an alliance that says, peace, 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 peace. And eventually there will be a leader in Israel that wants to sign a peace treaty, and all hell is going to break loose on the earth. There will never be a piece of that land that is given over to another nation right in the middle of Israel. It will not happen. Okay, so let's go over to the next passage. Let's go to chapter 39, and we'll show you something there. Might take you a minute. There we go. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you. O Gog, chief prince, ruler of Rosh, of Meshech, and of Tubal. And I will turn you about, and will lead you on, and will cause you to come up from the uttermost parts of the north, and will lead you against the mountains of Israel. And I will shine your bow from your left hand, and will cause your arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall dead upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your host and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall in the open field, for I have spoken it, says the Lord God. I will send fire on Magog and upon those who dwell securely in the coastlands, and they shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. And I will make, here it is, I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. And the nation shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is coming and it will be done, says the Lord God. That is the day of which I have spoken. And when you, Gog, are no longer, they will dwell in the cities of Israel. They who dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the battle gear, the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the hand spikes or riding whips and the spears, and they shall burn them as fuel, watch this, for 7 years. So that my people shall take no firewood out of the field or cut down any of the forest, for they shall make their fires of the weapons, and they shall despoil those who despoiled them and plunder those who plundered them, says the Lord God. And I'm going to end it right there. I think we can all deduct from that it is not going to go well for anyone who comes against Israel. If you take note of who is saying this, this is going to be initiated by God. Sounds mean, doesn't it? Sounds cruel. This is his doing. He says, "You didn't want me. You have fought against me so long. You have rejected me. I'm going to let this guy, this leader, come against the land. And for 7 years, it's going to take 7 years to bury the dead. It's going to take 7 years to purge the land. It's going to take 7 years. Remember I told you sevens are very prolific in the Bible. It's going to take 7 years for all of this to be done. But I have a purpose in this. This is going to be so severe that my people finally will recognize that I am the Lord God. Not the Antichrist. Not the self-appointed leader who has tried to come and stand on the holy hill of the Lord and declare himself to be God. I'm going to unleash such wrath against this whole system that finally my people are going to know that I am God. And it says during the tribulation that 144,000 Jews will become radical, sold out, spirit-filled, Jesus followers that will not bow their knee to the Antichrist. They will evangelize their nation and the earth. And guess what, Jehovah Witnesses? It will not be those of you handing out tracts and bothering me on Saturday mornings. Okay? It will not be you. Unless you have named Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Sometimes I just get like that, you know? The bride of Christ needs to get herself ready. How do you get yourself ready? You make sure that your calling and your salvation is sure, that your faith has been placed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because there is this thing called the rapture that is about to take place. It's we're going to be caught away. And I'm going to end on this today, and we'll come back to this later. You guys doing okay? Jesus said in Matthew 24, and it is the Jesus, really, it's in several other of the Gospels, but it's the Jesus version of what's going to be happening leading up to his second return. And I love it because the words are in red, and it's our Savior speaking. And he says this, these are his words in Matthew 24, 38 through 41. For just as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, men marrying and women being given in marriage. And by the way, that's not two women marrying two women or marrying each other. And that's not two men marrying each other. Let's keep our theology straight. Marriage is still between a man and a woman. You can call it a civil union. Go get your insurance. You know, I'm not encouraging anybody to live in sin. But if you are doing that, that is still a sinful lifestyle. And Jesus came to deliver you from it. He did. But this is going to be happening. And Jesus said they're going to be getting married. And they're going to be, you know, living lives. And you're going to be, you know, putting money in your 401ks. And right up to the very day, there were people mocking Noah. If you go back and read the story, you know, why are you building an ark? It's never rained. Why are you guys going to church? No, I've never seen anybody get beamed up by Jesus. Right? Why are you guys doing all? There's going to be people that will mock your faith. They don't understand what you're doing. And you know what? Do your best to live a life that is sold out to Jesus. And that doesn't mean being a religiotard. Okay? That means loving Jesus. Taking care of your temple. Being good to people. Right? But even being good to people won't get you into heaven. You can be good till the day you die. But you're never going to be good enough without his blood to make it in, right? And so right up to the day that, you know, Noah had to close the doors. He got the two animals in. We heard the, you know, Sunday school story. What are you doing that for? Why are you building that big old monstrosity of a thing? It's going to rain. It's going to rain. You need to repent. You need to honor Yeshua. There's coming a rain. There's coming a flood. And you know, Jesus is saying it's going to be like that. The church is going to be saying, he's coming. There's something coming. There's an event coming. And they're like, oh, you guys are crazy. You're a bunch of conspiracy theorists, you know. You just... You think Elon Musk is the Antichrist, you know? You think George Soros and Charles Schwab and all of them, you know, Yuval Harari is going to, like, listen, they're all in cahoots, but we don't know who it's going to be. We don't know what time it's going to be. The Bible says no man knows the hour or the time, and there have been all these people that have, like, tried to get really, like, tweaked out with numbers and figure out, like, you know, man, that's a lot of energy to try to figure out something that even Jesus doesn't know. Like, dude, go eat a sandwich and take a nap. Go to lunch with your kids. Like, calm down. The Bible says that even Jesus, only the Father knows, and he hasn't even told Jesus. Think about that. The bridegroom is just ready, waiting for his bride. But he's like, Daddy, is it today? And Dad's like, you know what? That's none of your business. I know. Dads know there's some things that are just, you know, I'm going to hang on to it till you need to know. But Jesus said, no man knows the hour or the day. It's going to be like this, though. Pay attention. This is what it's going to be like. Verse 39, and they did not know, these people in Noah's day, they did not know or understand until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be this coming of the Son of Man. At that time, watch this, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at the handmill. One will be taken and one will be left. There are some people that will be raptured and your body will be changed just like that. You will get your new glorified body just like that. And that's when I get up every morning and go, today the day, Daddy, please. Paul said this, take notice, I tell you a mystery, a secret truth, an event decreed by the hidden purpose of God or counsel of God. We shall not all fall asleep in death, but we shall all be changed or transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call, for a trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, free and immune from decay, and we shall all be changed or transformed. So I'm going to cut it off right there, but like there's coming this event. I would love to be the generation that doesn't die, that just gets out of here. The Bible says that this, friends, is our blessed hope. It's our hope. There are people that get afraid of this. Well, I want to grow up. I want to kiss a boy. Some of them say, I want to kiss a girl if they're a girl. You know what I mean? Like, really? I don't know what it's like. And then they grow up and kiss a boy or a girl, and they got bills. And you got family members like Lot. Some of you don't know who he is, but those are called Klingons. You know, they're a little perverted. They like to, like, go engage in all the stuff that you'd rather they not. Lord Jesus. They bring all kinds of things into the community that are like, you love them, they're family members. They borrow money from you. They never pay you back. Even some of them learn their business skills from you. Some of them start making money right next to you, and some of them, their stuff starts getting in the way, you know? I have a whole message on that. I won't go there today, but how many of you have that? Like, people you tried to help, now their stuff's getting in your way. Somebody went like this. Oh, sorry. I was just straightening my shirt. I was going to lift my hand, but. this event is going to take place. It's going to be like the days of Noah. There are going to be family members, inevitably. And that's why we pray that, like Lot's wife, they get so attracted to the world, they get so immersed in that garbage. When God is saying, come out, I'm about to rain fire down from heaven, like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah. Stuff's about ready to break loose. Go read. I'm going to take you in a couple of chapters of Revelation and just show you why you don't want to be here. I mean, that one war is enough, right? But that's going to happen in Israel. But when I start to show you what's going to happen all over the globe, and this won't just be targeted at Israel, this is going to be all over the globe. You don't want to be here. And you don't want to become so intoxicated and enthralled with that world system and all that garbage over there that wars against our flesh, that your heart gets turned toward it and you're clinging to that. I'm preaching a very sober message in this season, because the word of God declares there's a call where the Lord is saying, this great harlot, Babylon system, there's all these metaphors for this filthy world system. It says she's known for her witchcraft and her sorceries and her perversions. And you see two females. You see the bride of Christ, who's clothed in righteousness and clothed in holiness. And she's clothed, not based on her performance, but based on Jesus's. And we need to appreciate that. She's got her white garments and she's beautiful. And then there over here is the whore, the great harlot. And what is she doing? She's seducing the kings of the earth with her lure of wealth, with her lure of perversion, with her lure. She's intoxicating the kings. And it's not just, men. But it says that the great kings of the earth, they will not surrender to Christ. And it says, when she falls, not if, when this great whore, this one world church, this perverted global political system, when it comes crashing down, it says the kings who drank at the cesspool of her perversions, who could not take their eyes off of it, they will weep bitterly because of her demise. Ladies and gentlemen, you will either weep over your sin and experience godly sorrow, which leads to repentance and leads to times of refreshing. It's not all tears and crying and groaning over, your mistakes. No, there's a moment where God begins to break through and show you the things that have had you bound, like he did in my life. And simultaneously, he pours his love and his fire and his goodness so deep in your heart that you're willing to let go of anything to be his bride. And the tears fall freely, and sometimes your soul is being washed out. But you will not be that girl that's looking at the Antichrist and saying, yeah, I'm your whore. No, you will not be caught in that camp, weeping over her filthy demise and the loss of your money and the loss of everything that you counted on. You won't be in that camp. You're either going to cry for Jesus or you're going to cry for her. And that's a very clear message. Those that reject him, they will do nothing but cry over the loss of their money, over the loss of their, their influence over that, because it's all going to be lost. There's no win over there. There is no win. There's only one way to win in this life. There's only one way, and it's a guarantee to be on the winning side. It's not just your ticket out of here and your ticket into eternal life, but it is a relationship that will keep you from the spirit of stupid until this event happens. And it's called accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior right now while there's still time. done. Stand to your feet. I never promise a smooth landing, not with me. Sometimes we just hit the tarmac and go, we're here. And everybody claps because the plane is on the ground. Listen, I don't know who's watching. Somebody emailed me a week ago and said, I was watching a message from 2020. And you were crying because your husband had just died and you were preaching this message and giving an altar call, and I was like sniveling over some little thing in my life, and I went, man, if that girl can still get up and love Jesus with every fiber of her being, I have nothing to snivel about. And it wasn't a I received Jesus message. It was just a, you know, thank you for keeping on going. And it's not about me, but I just want to encourage you. Like, we don't know who's watching these services. Thank you for continuing to show up. Thank you for continuing to obey the Lord and give to the kingdom of God so that, you know, a messenger like me can get up and still give the message, or Pastor Simone or whoever else. Listen, don't shoot the messenger. Pray for me. And continue to bless those who are heralding the true message of the gospel around the earth. And the message is this. Jesus came and died on the cross to pay the sin penalty so that no one has to ever die and be separated from him forever. That's the gospel. What do? You believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth and you shall be saved. Listen, every one of you should know that. Every one of you are an evangelist. Every one of you. And I'm going to continue to challenge you, because what the so-called church has done is they have said, no, Pastor Vern is going to be the one to lead everybody to the Lord. And we've made the pastor responsible for always being the one to share the message. I told the staff, I'm going to tell you, don't invite people to church. Invite them to dinner. We should invite people to church, but don't invite them to church till you've invited them to dinner. You know, like, be good to people. Make them a meal. Get out of isolation. Stop being a weirdo. And somebody asks you why you're blessed. Tell them, because I've received Christ in my life. He turned my life around. You know, it's easier to get buy-in. And like I love what Shiny says, it's easier to get people sticky. You know what I mean? Where they'll actually be open to hearing a message like this and come. This is spooky stuff. I am a very spooky person. I realize that. Like, I scare the crap out of people. Man, thank you, Tim. You know, I always figure I'm too much for a lot of people, but you're not too much for your tribe. Your tribe will always be able to handle you. But there are just people that, this is scary stuff, man, to walk in the church door. They're like, the building's going to fall down. But they'll have dinner with you. Yeah, they'll have coffee with you if you're not a weirdo. You should be able to sit down with anybody if they say, you know what, well, I know my life's a mess, but like, what do I do? You say, just believe in your heart and say that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. Now, that's not some weird thing, but it's like, you know, that's what he came for. And that word saved means more than just go to heaven. It means that he'll make your life whole. It's the word sozo. It means that he will fill the broken places. And you know, it's this thing that he did in my life. We need to do more sharing of our testimony. I'm almost done. I said I was done like 20 minutes ago, right? We're going to pray it together because we're Soul Harvest Worship Center. But you should be able to pray this simple prayer with somebody, which is based on the premise that we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, and we are saved. So let's say, I believe in my heart that you are Lord. Confessing it with my mouth, I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Fill me with your spirit. I know I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Now beam me up and get me out of here so I don't have to do any of that. In Jesus' name. Amen. All done. God bless you guys.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, Click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.